Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A three-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96fan.com, and also the Odyssey app. I am very excited to be here with you. There is a lot for us to get into. Did you know that today is what they call a sports equinox? Now, Rob, there have only been 31 of these in history. Today, there is an NFL game, there are NBA games, there are hockey games, there is a World Series game. Every major sport plays today. It is a very exciting time in the sports calendar. We are happy that you have decided to spend some time with us here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, this is what we're going to do. Coming up, I will give you my biggest Chiefs thought from yesterday's win against the Las Vegas Raiders. All the Chiefs do is win, 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 no matter what. I'll give you my early thoughts on Josh Uche. We are also going to go to Boston and learn a little bit more about the newest member of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about this weekend's Sunflower Showdown. The Missouri football season is over. We will not discuss them again after today. Rob, I see the way you're looking at me. We will not discuss them again after today. We will talk about them again today. And I'm sure they're going to win 8 or 9 games, and you guys will try to tell me how at Mizzou we should celebrate that. No, not when you have the cupcake soft schedule that Missouri had this year. For you to play two real teams and for you to get belt to behind in both of those two games this season, I do not care if you beat Florida and Mississippi State down the stretch to win 8 games this year. Your season is over officially on The Drive. That is my stance. So there's a lot for us to get into between now and the end of the show. Again, I appreciate you so much. We will get to the Chiefs coming up in just a bit. But before we do any of that, Rob, you know what to do.
Time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Call number 6, 913-586-7965. They win a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wines. So whether it's a slice or two, or you're hungry enough for a whole pie, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, TASCIO.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day on 96.5 The Fan. And number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best pizza in the city, and you know what, Rob, today, if we can we give the pizza to a K-State fan? Because K-State, they are the one fan base. They are the one team that's still holding it down to preseason expectations. KU certainly is not. Missouri is not. K-State still has a chance to compete and play for a national championship. So if you can, if they don't say Ema Rob, do not give them a pizza. If they are not repping Willie the Wildcat, I do not want you to give them a pizza today. You have not earned a pizza. I do not want you to take our pizza and sit down and watch Missouri football with it. I don't want you to take our pizza and go watch Jalen Daniels throw more interceptions and fumble on critical drives. If you are not a Wildcat fan, today's pizza is not for you. All right, let's get to this. I want to read to you guys a sequence in yesterday's Chiefs game. And the reason I want to read to you this sequence is because, to me, this sequence almost perfectly describes the Kansas City Chiefs probably over the course of the last two regular seasons. All right, you know what? This portion of the game, it starts when the Chiefs have a 17-13 lead. They were playing okay against the Las Vegas Raiders. You were never really worried about them losing to the Las Vegas Raiders. But you know what? The game is still a little bit in doubt. So you got to at least go through the motions of thinking, man, I don't know, this game's close. Hey, the Chiefs are playing down to the level of competition. You know that conversation that you've had with yourself or your buddies or whoever you watch the game with. You know the conversation that I'm having. Well, on this play, did you know that the Chiefs committed a penalty and then the Chiefs threw an interception? Now, I am not here telling you that the interception was Patrick Mahomes' fault. In fact, for this story, I do not care whose fault it was. But I don't care how big of a Chiefs fan you are. You have to acknowledge that, man, the Chiefs turn the ball over a lot. Let me tell you that over the last season and a half, the Chiefs have 39 turnovers. Did you know that over the two last regular seasons, the Chiefs turnover differential is minus 14? The Chiefs usually turn the football over. And you know what happens? The offense comes off the field after a turnover, and you know what? Patrick Mahomes looks at Chris Jones, and Chris Jones and the rest of that defense says, don't worry about it, 1-5, we got you. The Las Vegas Raiders get the ball first and goal, Kansas City 3. It is a 17-13 game. Now, I don't think the Raiders are going to win this. You probably don't think the Raiders are going to win this, but you know what? You still got to go through the motions here, and you got to get those feels. It's late in the third quarter. There are 20 minutes left in the game when this happens, and the Chiefs are up 4 points. Upsets happen every week in the National Football League, and this could possibly be one of them. It's first and goal from the 3. The Raiders try to run the football. What has been a theme against the Kansas City Chiefs over the last two seasons? They did not run the football effectively. Alexander Mattison had 14 carries for 15 yards. I don't know why they tried to run the football. It didn't work. They got 2 yards. It's now second and goal from the 1 yard line. They try to run the football again. They did not get any yards. It's third and goal. They tried to run it again. Why? Y'all don't read the scouting report. Y'all don't have Google in Las Vegas. I've been to Las Vegas before. I know they have Google. They tried to run the ball 3 straight times with Alexander Mattison, and they got 0 yards out of it. They ran one more play. They could have kicked a field goal. Now, I supported the Raiders' decision to go for it in this scenario. There really isn't much value in being down 17-16 to the Kansas City Chiefs. This is a critical juncture in the game. What are the Raiders going to do here? Got nothing to lose here. Let's go for it. They get a sack. It is now 17-13. The Chiefs go down the field and score. The Raiders fumble the ball on their next possession. The Chiefs go down the field and score a touchdown, a wonderfully executed touchdown. The Chiefs score 10 points in their next two drives, and that is the end of the game. We've seen that sequence so many times over the course of the last 2 years, and it never gets old. The game is just close enough that you still got to watch it. You can't fully turn the channel. You can't go do what the wife wants you to do. Babe, it's close. She sits down and she's, oh man, this game's a little closer than I thought. Yeah, you know, they're going to win. And then the offense does something and the defense usually cleans up the mess. And that is exactly what happened yesterday. They turn the ball over on their side of the field. It's first and goal from the 3-yard line. The Raiders, in fact, they lost 5 yards from first and goal on the 3 and gave the ball back to the Chiefs at the 8-yard line. That was the end of the game. There's no other part of the game that we need to discuss. We'll talk about Travis Kelce over the course of the show. We'll talk about DeAndre Hopkins. We'll talk about Xavier Worthy. But if you want to know where the game was won or lost, there was a 4-minute stretch that the game was won or lost, and I just read it to you. That was it. Raiders had no chance of winning outside of that. Their best chance to win was to score a touchdown right there and put a little bit of pressure on Kansas City. But there is a reason why the Chiefs are who they are, and there is a reason why the Raiders are what they are. there is a reason why one team is going to be the one seed and has a chance to go 15-2 this year. And there is a major reason why one team could potentially have the number one overall pick. And you saw it in two possessions yesterday. That's it. We'll talk about some of the individual players in the game, but if you want to know why the game was won or lost and how the Chiefs are potentially going to win the Super Bowl and how the Raiders are in the toilet bowl, I just gave it to you. Now, let's give you some early thoughts on Josh Uche, and Rob, we'll talk about this more coming up after the break. This is the most Chiefs thing that they could possibly do. And I don't say that as a negative. In fact, it is an overwhelming positive. When the tweet came through the timeline, I said to myself, oh, this is the Brett Veach special. Josh Uche was a second round pick in 2020. He had a fantastic year in 2022. He has been injured, hasn't had the same level of productivity over the course of the last couple of years. He is a very low risk, possibly decent reward player that cost you. Listen to this. They traded a sixth round pick, not in next year's draft, not the one that's in Green Bay. They traded it for the 2026 NFL draft. Now, even somebody like Rob that loves to hoard those picks by any means necessary, even he has to be willing to trade a future sixth round pick. We're talking about a pick that's close to the 200s for a guy who's had double digit sacks in his career, a guy who could possibly be on next year's team. You can always go get back a late sixth round pick. It's almost like the Patriots gave him to the Chiefs, if you want my opinion, at that compensation. That's nothing. And he was on a one-year prove-it deal. So you're talking about they got a guy who had 11 sacks in his career in a season, and they got him for a 2026 sixth-round pick, and he's due to make less than $1 million the rest of the way. That's a Brett Veach special right there. That's a really solid trade. Now, you will probably not hit a home run with this signing, but you also have to factor in the acquisition cost. But I think this says sort of where they feel the health of Mike Dana is. Maybe this says something about Charles Omenihu and when they think he's going to come back. But maybe it doesn't say any of those things. And you know what? The Chiefs saw a pass rusher that they liked that they can acquire for basically nothing, and they decided to take a swing. Now, we can talk about if this takes them out of the conversation for some other things. Maybe they're now not going to go get a wide receiver. Maybe they're now not going to go get a corner or a left tackle or whatever position group you want them to get. But after they made the restructure for Juwan Taylor, I think we all knew that they were going to make some other kind of move. They made one of those kind of moves earlier today when they go to pick up Josh Uche. So we're going to go to Boston here in a bit. I want you guys to hear the Patriots' perspective of what went right for him in a Patriots uniform, what went wrong, and what's the value that you were getting with a player like this. But I don't know how you can be mad at this move at all. This is right up Brett Veach's alley. A former first or second round pick that didn't pan out in his original home. You bring him to your team, and you see if he's got anything left. That is a move that the Kansas City Chiefs love. Coming up on the other side, I do want to talk more about this. The Chiefs have become the team that we always discussed about them being in 2017 to 2018. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
And Mitch Holter's voice of the Chiefs. Everyone develops cataracts naturally as they get older. When your vision is affected by cataracts, you should see my doctor, Dr. Steven Silverstein at Silverstein Eye Centers. Dr. Silverstein is a world-renowned cataract surgeon who performs life-changing laser-assisted cataract surgery with premium lens implants to correct your vision up close and far away. Trust my eye doctor, Dr. Steven Silverstein, Silverstein Eye Centers, 816-358-3600 to schedule an appointment.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Coming up in about 5 minutes, I will play for you what Bill Belichick had to say about the Chiefs' trade to go acquire Joshua Uche. I'll also play for you what Adam Schefter had to say about the move as well. Let's go through this trade. We're also going to be joined by Joshua Briscoe. We'll get his reaction to this move as well. There are a lot of reasons to like this trade. Joshua Uche is 26 years old. He went to Michigan. He was drafted in 2020. He was a second round pick. He was pick 60 to the Patriots. Now, his career, it ain't really worked out that well with the New England Patriots. But in 2022, let me tell you, he was incredible. He played in 15 games. He had 23 solo tackles. He had 11 and a half sacks. He played at a really high level. Now, the best comparison I can make, Rob, do you remember there was a baseball player when we were coming up? We were kids. His name was Brady Anderson. You remember Brady Anderson who played for the Baltimore Orioles? You remember that year where Brady Anderson hit like 50 home runs, and then you looked at the rest of his career and it's like, wait, hold on. You're not the same guy that hit all of those home runs. So to explain what I mean, Joshua Uche in his first season had one sack. In his second season, he had three sacks. In 2023, he had three. And this season, he has two sacks. He got 11 and a half sacks in one season. He has nine sacks in the other four seasons. So you can determine which player that you think he is. Do you think he's the guy in 2022? Or do you think he's more like the player that we saw in 2021, 23, and 24. Now, I'm going to guess that he's closer to the player that we've seen in those other 4 years than the 1 year, but that is not to say that this is not a good move. The acquisition cost is nothing on this move. Literally nothing. They traded a future sixth-round pick, not even a 2025 sixth-round pick. They traded a 2026 sixth-round pick for this player, and his base salary with the Chiefs is $722,000. Nothing. So if you're a team and you are looking to add pass rush, there's not a lot of teams that are going to give you a capable pass rusher for pennies on the dollar. If you wanted that kind of level of pass rush, you had a chance to go get Matthew Judon, or you can spend a first or a second round pick. But I think we know the market that the Chiefs are in. The market that the Chiefs are in is the clearance rack. They're not getting it off the showroom floor. No, they're in the back. They're in the clearance section. You got DeAndre Hopkins for the low, and you got the Titans to eat half of that deal. You also got Joshua Uche for the absolute low. So what are your expectations of this player as he joins the Kansas City Chiefs? Can he come in and be a solid rotational piece and player for this team? You are not asking him to live up to being a second-round pick back in 2020. I think you know that's not what he is, but you are hoping that there's still a little bit of magic there. And I think that this trade is maybe a sign that Mike Dana is a little bit more injured than we think and maybe not coming back, or the same thing with Charles Omenihu. And you need somebody that you trust and somebody with a little bit of upside to potentially fill that role. This is a guy who could possibly be on this team next year. You're 26 years old. You prove to be a very capable rotational defensive lineman. They bring you back next year on a cheap deal. You signed a one-year, $3 million deal, guaranteed 2.3 with the New England Patriots. So you are already playing for no money and on a team that had no chance of winning. You come to Kansas City, you make a couple of plays in some big spots, you play for a great defense under a great defensive coordinator. You come here where you are filled with other great pass rushers. You got Chris Jones to one side of you. You got George Karloftis to one side of you. You have a couple of different options out there. There are going to be far less expectations on you to go out and be the player that people thought you were coming out of Michigan and live up to that draft pick that you were used for. So I don't have any problem with this move. I think this is a very smart move, and this move is in line with so many of the Chiefs' trades and moves that we've seen them make over the last handful of years, Rob.
Even me, Mr. Hate Giving Up Picks guy, loves this deal. Carrington, I know we'll hear from Bill Belichick in a minute, but you know what he was the king of for years and years and years and years and years in the NFL? He would trade nothing, and he would get a player back. Now, what made Belichick great, and the Chiefs have been great at this too, is that they would find a way to utilize that skill set and get the most out of that player. Sometimes it was obvious. Oh, they got the most out of Randy Moss. Obviously, good job. But other times they would add Michael Floyd at the near the deadline. Hey, he's had some legal issue. We're going to add him in, bring him into our environment. And guess what? Down the stretch, he makes a couple plays, helps the team. Chris Long, same thing. Like, we can name the Patriots that they did this with. Josh Uche is a, hey, you can help us now. Maybe you make a play. Maybe you make a rush. Maybe you make a difference in a game. And that's a win for us because we gave up nothing to do it. It is a great acquisition cost. It is a epitome of a low risk, high reward. And if the Chiefs and Spagnuolo and Reed and everyone involved can get him in a position to make a couple plays, then you walk out the absolute winner. But much like the Patriots and Bill Belichick's era in New England, if it doesn't work out, okay, you gave up a chance at Trey Smith. You gave up a chance at B.J. Thompson to get this done. Pick your poison on which kind of guy they'd be adding with that pick. But the odds are that Spagnuolo, who can find the role for basically everyone in that defense, including Roland Wallace, who no one knew who was a week ago, then he will be able to find a way to make Josh Uche effective or effective enough. It's similar to me, except for the acquisition cost a little higher, of adding Terrell Suggs. If it works, hey, you found another pass rusher, and pass rushers are very important. If it doesn't, whatever, man. You added another guy. Remember they made the trade with Arizona this preseason for another pass rusher, and it didn't work out. That's life. This is a fine deal for the Chiefs. As long as everyone understands, it's a flyer.
I think that's a really good point, that the Chiefs, they have become the Patriots. They become the Patriots. I'll read our top text to you. C-Dot, playing next to Chris Jones will place Uche a lot closer to the 2022 version. You want to know what being as good as the Chiefs have been? You get the benefit of the doubt on every single move. How many times did the Patriots sign a player and the expectation is, man, that guy's going to be good? I mean, I'm talking about they did this with Ocho Cinco at the end of his career. They did this with Albert Haynesworth at the end of his career. They did this with Michael Floyd. Remember when Michael Floyd got kicked off the Arizona Cardinals for the DUI and they got him late in his career? The Patriots did this, and the rest of the league's expectation is, oh boy, how did you guys let the Patriots get that guy? Now, a majority of those moves didn't work out, but some of them did work out. That's the benefit of the doubt that you get. I don't think that Joshua Uche is coming in here to be a guy who's going to get 11 and a half sacks the way that he did in 2022. But could he come in and be a productive player, be a rotational piece, and be a positive? And on a team that is dealing with some injuries on that side of the ball, could he come in and fill a role? I absolutely think he can be that. Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, what do you think this tells you about how they feel about Felix? I don't think this changes anything for Felix. You guys know that I'm big on snap counts. Do you guys want to know where Felix is in snap counts? He's still behind Mike Dana for the year. Mike Dana plays a higher percentage of the snaps than Felix does. So we're talking about a guy who was a sixth-round pick who has done a really good job hanging on in this league and being a productive player. Felix has not passed him in year two as a first-round pick. So I don't think this changes anything for how they feel about Felix. We know what he is. He plays in 35% of their defensive snaps. You know what he is? A rotational piece. That's what he is. At this point, Karlaftis has shown you potential star ability in year two at this point, and Karlaftis has continued to build on that and be that. And maybe Felix turns it on a little bit later in his career, but, I mean, we've been seeing Felix Onyedike Uzomah. We are, what, 25 weeks into his NFL career? He still can't get on the field ahead of Mike Dana. I think we know how they feel about Felix. He's a rotational piece at this point that you were hoping maybe in year three, year four, maybe something happens later on in the end of his second year. But I just don't think this changes any things for him because I think they acquired 2020 Felix Onyedike Uzomah today. They acquired a guy who's going to get 2, 3, maybe 4 sacks and be a rotational piece and is probably going to flash at times and make you think that there is a higher ceiling when there's probably not. I think that's the player that they acquired. Coming up in a bit, we're going to be joined by Joshua Briscoe. Let me play for you guys what Bill Belichick had to say. Here are his thoughts on the trade.
Well, I assume it was a 25-6th. It was a 26-6th, then honestly, then they didn't give up anything in my mind. And then if you like the player and re-sign him, then you re-sign him. Look, Josh Uche is a really good rusher. He hasn't had a chance to rush much this year for the Patriots because they've been behind a lot. And, you know, it's the situation hasn't been good. But he had a big year 2 years ago. Now, you know, he had Judon on the other side of him, so it was 2 good pass rushers. But he'll have a lot of opportunities to rush in Kansas City. I think that he'll really help him. He's got surprising power for his size. He's got, you know, excellent quickness and a good get off, and he has some flexibility in coverage. So I think it's a good addition for a team that needs another pass rusher, which everybody does. Josh can do that. He'll definitely help him.
Rob, you know that we love a good cross-sport comparison, especially a good basketball comparison. You know what this is? You got a guy that you think can knock down a couple of shots. You've got legitimate playmakers on that D-line. You got Chris Jones, who can go for 20 or 30 in this analogy. You got George Karloftis, who was flying all over the field and making plays yesterday. You've got your leading scorers. What you're looking for now is role guys, guys who are going to play a little bit of defense, guys who are going to hustle and knock down shots. And that's what I think Uche can be in this comparison. I think that's what they're asking him to be. We've got other pass rushers that are going to take up more attention than you. You're going to have one-on-one opportunities, and you're going to be put in a spot that's very different than you were in New England. We're not asking you to come in and help us stop the run. We're not asking you to cover anybody. We are asking you to beat the guy in front of you and cause disruption. You've never been in that situation in New England. And the one time that you were in that situation when you played with other high-end pass rushers, you were a dog in 2022. So if the Chiefs are going to tell me that for less than $1 million and for a 2026 sixth round pick, they're willing to roll the dice and see if any of that 2022 magic is still there, I think it's a very, very worthwhile gamble. Coming up here in just a bit, we're going to be joined by Joshua Briscoe. Let me play for you guys what Adam Schefter had to say about the move.
Well, the Chiefs are active, obviously. They're adding another linebacker, former second round draft pick from the Chiefs. And Josh Uche is going there. He was scratched. They were trading him all along. The Chiefs were the team that was interested. And now it's official. He'll be a Kansas City Chief.
Let's go to the phone lines right now to be joined by Joshua Briscoe of Sports Illustrated and get his thoughts on this trade. Josh, man, happy to have you on the show today. I like this trade for the Kansas City Chiefs. This is a Brett Veach special. This is a very low risk, potentially decent reward kind of move that doesn't cost a lot of draft pick compensation. Also isn't too taxing on the salary cap.
Yeah, and I think your analogy, like he's a 3-and-D guy, totally makes sense here because so much of this defensive line is reliant on Chris Jones and George Karloftis. Obviously, Jones is way more productive, but Karloftis has taken so many snaps. He's out there all the time. This just gives you a sixth man off the bench who, if Dana's missing any time, any continuing time, that's noteworthy. If you're not in love with how Felix has progressed, although I think we've seen some good things from him, you can add him in the rotation there. It's super Vici, and like I don't know if you guys have already heard or played the Bill Belichick breakdown of it, but hearing the guy who, for all intents and purposes, drafted him and then coached him through those first 4 years of his career, even that kind of gave it a little more juice for me. I think this makes a ton of sense at a very negligible price.
I think this says about the health of Mike Dana. He missed this game against the Raiders. I think he could potentially be out, and the Chiefs are just looking for depth. And if you can acquire depth at a relatively low cost, you got to take that every single time.
Yeah, and we talked about this with Hopkins too, but the process is really important to me in terms of like, how did we get here? Because last year, the Mecole Hardman trade at the time annoyed me deeply because they could have just kept him, right? Like that divorce never needed to happen. They just misevaluated Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney. This year, they traded for DeAndre Hopkins because wide receiver 1 and 2 both went down for either the whole year or a huge chunk of it. In this case, Dana getting banged up and maybe you don't get the exact progression you wanted from Felix. Although again, he played 37 snaps against the Raiders. Raiders and was at least holding his own out there. This is reasonable depth for a perfectly, at the end of a perfectly good process. Like, I thought they might draft somebody at defensive end to kind of try to speed up the timeline there for guys further down the depth chart. You also may remember that BJ Thompson was sort of the developmental guy that might have been next up, and that was certainly outside of anybody's control. So I think that the process here pairs with that future sixth round price tag in a way that we're going to forget by day three of the 26th draft. We're going to go, oh yeah, that was for Uche. All right, yeah, that's fine. Either he's still here or he isn't, but he was a reasonable acquisition for a team that's obviously trying to three-peat.
It's interesting to me how teams just get the benefit of the doubt, and you get this by being as good as the Kansas City Chiefs have. I made this comparison right before you hopped on that we saw the Patriots make these kind of moves for a decade, and the expectation is that it was always going to work because New England was the team that did it. It feels like the Chiefs are now in this spot where if there's any team that can get the potential out of Joshua Uche, you would just assume that it's Kansas City. You look at the success that he had in 2022 when he played alongside Matthew Judon and some of their other pass rushers. And if that player still exists, you trust Kansas City to be able to get it out of him.
Yeah, and I think that's partially earned, and to your point, it's partially just the result of being the team that's holding the trophy at the end. The Patriots did have a couple through the years where you'd, oh man, they're gonna be so dangerous, especially towards the end. You go, oh, okay, well, we just didn't really hear from this guy very much. Kadarius Toney is not going to end up on Brett Veach's, like, the top paragraph of his Wikipedia page, but it worked out fine because he has a big moment or a couple of big moments in the playoffs, and you go, oh, well, you know, the Chiefs got what they could, and it's not like anybody else is currently maximizing Kadarius Toney. But I think for the Chiefs, it actually makes more sense to me than it would for just kind of the idea of, oh man, I can't believe that the Chiefs got this guy who was maybe on the wrong side of his career. Uche is still looking for a chance to have a second contract that can play off of his peak to this point. And Steve Spagnuolo, it's a little bit of a different type of guy to some extent. And like Belichick said earlier, that he has more strength than you would expect on his frame, which is a Spagsy thing. But you give a legitimate pass rushing weapon to Steve Spagnuolo, and I do actually believe that he will maximize that guy. Now look, on the other end, for a similar price tag, right before the season started, they traded a seventh rounder for Cam Thomas. Now Cam Thomas, in the games where Mike Dana hasn't played, has three snaps, and zero snaps. This move today effectively ends the Cam Thomas experiment in my mind. I don't think the Chiefs have seen much from him. Maybe there's a long-term view. Maybe he'll be kicking around in training camp next year as well. So again, they're not always guaranteed to pan out that way, but I think this move makes a lot more immediate impact and projects to a much larger short-term impact than, again, looking back to Cam Thomas now being a special teamer, even when the Chiefs needed to make a move for an edge rusher in their mind.
Right now, we're talking to Joshua Briscoe for a couple more minutes here, getting his reaction to the Chiefs. They have made a trade. They have acquired Joshua Uche. He played for the New England Patriots. He had 11 and a half sacks back in 2022. The Chiefs trade a future sixth round pick to go acquire Uche. I do want to get your thoughts on what you think this means for Felix Onyedike Uzomah. I really don't think this changes much. I mean, he's played in 35% of their defensive snaps. I think we know what he is right now in his career. He is a rotational pass rusher. This is what Uche is coming in to be, a rotational pass rusher. And now with no Mike Dana, you can now somebody has to fulfill that role, and then somebody has to take the snaps of Felix Onyedike. So I really don't think this means anything. I don't think this is an indictment on where he is at this point, but we have now seen, what, 25, 26 games of his career? I mean, this is who he's been since day one in Kansas City.
I would argue that he has shown more so far this year than we ever saw from him last season. So there is some form of progress there, right? Like last year, by and large, when he was on the field, you would notice either that they were running in his general direction or more importantly and more unfortunately, the fact that, not an exaggeration, his hand was frequently in the ground longer than Derek Nnadi's, like getting off the ball, literally just getting the jump off the ball. He would frequently be the last defensive lineman to move, including much bigger, much slower overall players. That has not been as evident this year. I think we have seen some growth for him. And frankly, like, we saw a couple of nice plays from Malik Herring yesterday. But I think what this is about is a guy that you can weaponize in a rushing situation that can do it now and that you think can raise your overall level. I don't think this is bad news for Felix. I also, you know, I don't think you can turn this into some like grand vote of confidence for him. I think really, and I'm hoping that we're not like on the eve of bad news regarding Charles Aminihu, because I still think he's probably the healthy, which we may not see him, air quotes, healthy, you know, even 10 months off of an ACL whenever he ends up being back. But I think Charles Minnehu, healthy, is the best defensive end, best edge rusher on this group. Maybe, I guess you could say Chris Jones kicking to the outside, but of the actual edges. I think at this point, you need to have as many of those guys as you can. Felix is under contract through that first round deal. Felix's projection is still a multi-year plan. That was partially even the case when they drafted him, one of the youngest players in the draft. I think we've seen some growth from him. I think he's in a better place now than he was this time last year, but I think the Chiefs are expecting Uche to be a better pass rusher right now than Felix is, and if Felix can be a starter next year, or even a consistent third guy, I think the Chiefs would be happy with that, given the struggles that he had in year one.
The Chiefs have made a couple of moves here over the last 4 to 5 days. Do you think they're done, or are you anticipating them making a move between now and next Tuesday?
I'm going to read really, really far into a very small move they made before the game. Montrell Washington was the wide receiver who got the practice squad call up. I think that's mostly because of special teams, because Sky Moore did some special teams things, but he did get a handful of offensive snaps as well. The fact that it was him and not Remigio, not Justin Ross, again, special teams first there. But I have to think that there's still a little bit of a desire to poke around to see if maybe that DeMarcus Robinson price comes around. I'm a little bit hesitant to predict them to trade for a corner. They're always so bullish on the internal options. Obviously losing Johnson again doesn't help, but hopefully that's on a long-term concussion process. So I would say that there is still an outside chance that you find that old face that returns the wide receiver room. But if Juju practices, I guess not Wednesday, but Thursday and Friday, then maybe they end up being able to settle in a little bit. I don't think we're going to see one before the Buccaneers game as of right now, which would take them down, obviously, to the trade deadline on Tuesday.
All right, give me a candy hot take before I get you out of here. I will give you a couple of them. Red Vines are better than Twizzlers, and the better version of Twizzlers are actually Pull and Peel and not the OG.
Two great licorice-based takes by you. I have no notes for either of those. My wife is a big Twizzlers fan. I'm more pro Red Vine, so I like that angle. I think Three Musketeers at this point are underrated. I know it's just nougat in there, but it's still a satisfying bite. I think Kit Kats are the greatest chocolate candy of all time. Twix a close second, but chocolate and peanut butter is the best combo. So I need to get like a chocolate peanut butter Kit Kat happening soon. I would hear that for a run at the throne. Also, hey, just a PSA. More so than a hot take, do not buy the bags of mixed licorice and chocolate candy. That is a mistake that we have made in this home. I had a Reese's peanut butter cup that tasted like a Twizzler. It was a horrendous experience, and it takes a lot for me to reject candy. I will not touch that bag of candy again. Just buy your fruit-flavored candy in one bag, buy your chocolate-flavored candy in another. Everybody's going to be happy. That's my PSA for all of us here this Halloween season.
Well, Briscoe, you know what? I was going to let you promote your show coming up at 7 o'clock, but the fact that you said that Kit Kats are better than Snickers, I can't let you be on the show anymore today. So I appreciate your time.
Snickers are overrated. I'll tell you more at 7 o'clock tonight.
Hey, man, Rob, delete his number. He can't come on the show anymore. He can't. I'm done. We've tried to give Briscoe a lot of time. We've given Briscoe a lot of leeway. There's only room for one trash food takes on this show, and that's me. I can't be sharing the spotlight with people like Joshua Briscoe coming in here. They already get mad at me on the text line. You could come on here and say the Snickers are overrated? Terrible opinion. Coming up on the other side, we will give out helmet stickers for this weekend in college football. I will not be giving any to a player that plays at the University of Missouri. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I want to get back to football, and I promise you we will. I asked Joshua Briscoe, our Chiefs insider, to give us an unpopular candy opinion, and he said that Kit Kat is the best chocolate-based candy, which we all know is wrong. Now, I understand that everybody is entitled to their own opinion, and I respect your opinion, but I also can tell you that I think you're wrong. Someone on the text line, CDOT, Snickers are only good at Halloween and only the mini ones. Otherwise, it's mid at best. Someone else texted in and said Kit Kats are far superior to Snickers. You're lying. Kit Kats, they're not even better than Twix. I don't even know if they would get a medal stand in the chocolate candy Olympics. Snickers has already walked away with the gold medal. It's the Simone Biles of chocolate candies. Twix are better. Peanut M&Ms, if we're saying chocolate-based candy. Kit Kats are better than Snickers? Again, everybody is entitled to an opinion. I am also entitled to tell you that you are wrong with said opinion. There is only room on this show for one person with questionable food takes, and I have taken that. You got to find a different lane. You got to find a different lane if we're going to do that. Somebody on the text line says, anybody who hates Snickers also hates Red Lobster, and they deserve to be blocked. Amen, brother. Hey, Rob, is there a way that we can give this individual a pizza? Can we have this individual's number? Can we text this individual and try to give them a pizza? Because that person is a real American. That person is a patriot. And we need to do a better job on this show of saluting our listeners and people that decide to give us a part of their day. And if that's the kind of opinions that you have on the text line, I want to reward that. I want to reward it. Kit Kats. Someone just texted in CDOT, what about almond M&Ms? Bro.
That's a thing?
If you don't get off the text line with that nonsense, almond M&Ms. Bro, if you handed me, if you went to the store and I said, hey, can you grab me something? And you're like, yeah, sure, of course. And you came back with almond M&Ms. I would assume that you don't want what's best for me and my family. I would assume that you don't care about me if you came back with almond. What color is the bag for the almond M&Ms? We know what color the regular M&M bag is, the peanut M&Ms, the peanut butter M&Ms. What color is the almond M&Ms? Bro, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm really not. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm in a good mood. Rob, you're in a good mood. I'm feeling good. I'm healthy. I had a great breakfast earlier today. I'm not going to let you guys bring me down. Someone said, CDOT, what about Butterfingers? Are you ranking that higher or lower than Kit Kat? I got to put Butterfingers behind Kit Kat. Kit Kats are better than Butterfingers.
Okay, that's nonsense.
Kit Kats are better than Butterfingers.
Butterfingers stink.
Good point here. You're telling me in terms of chocolate-based candy, you're telling me that you'd rather have a Kit Kat than a Reese's Pieces or a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup? I'm saying Kit Kat does not get a medal stand in the chocolate candy Olympics. A terrible opinion. We might get back to this. We might not get back to it. I know Halloween is right around the corner, so we'll ask these questions here. But almond M&Ms, that's the worst text we've got since somebody said that coming to America wasn't funny. Somebody text that into this radio show, and I've never been able to look at the text line differently. At that point, that's when it became me and Rob against the text line, when that opinion was sent in here. I thought we were a family. I thought we were all in this together. Not with these kind of opinions about almond M&Ms. Disgraceful. Hit the music, Rob, please. Thank you. Can we stop doing this? Can we please give the Heisman to the right person? Because that person is Travis Hunter. He had another 100-yard receiving day. That's his fifth on the season. He had another multiple pass breakups day. You were telling me that there is a player that is going to have over 1,000 yards receiving, over double-digit touchdowns. He's also going to have multiple interceptions and a forced fumble. And everybody is trying to tell me, oh, give it to Cam Ward. Oh, give it to Ashton Jeanty. No! If I was a Heisman voter, I don't need to see anymore. The Heisman Trophy winner resides in Boulder, Colorado. Colorado still alive in the Big 12, and they clinched a bowl game. It is funny how we couldn't stop talking about Colorado when they were terrible. Now that they're good, no one has anything to say about Colorado. Go Buffaloes. Go Travis Hunter. Go Shedeur Sanders. Go Deion Sanders. I can't wait to see you here coming up in a couple of weeks. Hopefully the weather is decent, because I will not be at Arrowhead if the weather is not decent. But Travis Hunter should be the favorite for the Heisman Trophy.
Can I give my first helmet sticker to a guy who I don't believe should win the Heisman, but should be going to New York, and that's Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel has been the best quarterback in college football this year. Again, not saying he should win,
but he should be flown to New York and sat up there next to Gabriel and Gentry and Ward. That he should be part of this, because what he did against a ranked Illinois team, and I know Illinois is not some world beater. Illinois is not some watch out for them. But they were a team that was 6-1 going into the weekend, and the Ducks thumped them. And they did it on the back of Dylan Gabriel. Now, it might be a little unfair to have 45-year-olds like Dylan Gabriel running around college football, but 18-26 for 291 and 3 touchdowns. He's been sensational. Oregon's the best team in the country. He's the quarterback. He's the reason they're so good. He should be going to New York to watch someone else win the Heisman.
Are we sure that the best team in the country is not Penn State?
I am not totally sure.
Okay, I'm just asking that question.
But those two teams will match up in Indianapolis, won't they?
We will find out this weekend. Ohio State travels to Happy Valley. I have already put my bet in. I'm taking Penn State at home as an underdog. You're going to give me points with Penn State with the way they've played this season? I think they get off the schneid, and I think they win this weekend against the Buckeyes. Let me give you one more helmet sticker. Let me go ahead and take Marcel Reed. He is the backup, maybe the starting quarterback at Texas A&M. That game was close. That was until Marcel Reed came in. 9 carries, 62 yards, 3 touchdowns. He also threw 2 passes. He got 70 yards as Texas A&M, 38-23. A&M, unless they have a monumental collapse in November, they are going to the college football playoff. Even if they lose to Texas in the final game of the year, they have Auburn, South Carolina, and New Mexico State. You win those 3 games, they are going to the college football playoff. Congratulations to the Aggies. Marcel Reed gets a helmet sticker.
God, I hate SEC scheduling. New Mexico State is still on their schedule for November. Stupid SEC scheduling. I'm going to get my final helmet sticker to Jake Retzlaff, the quarterback at BYU. Talk about a team that no one saw coming this year. They are the absolute toast to college football. They won on the road over the weekend at UCF. They have a very soft schedule down the stretch. And BYU, the Cougars, could not only be playing in Arlington in the Big 12 title game, they could win that game and have a bye in the college football playoff. They got to get past a rival in Utah this weekend, but if they can do that, BYU with a real shot to be in the Rose Bowl, which is something absolutely no one saw coming. They get a helmet sticker.
All right, coming up on the other side, let's get back to talking about football. There are a couple of teams that we can bury in the AFC. I'll tell you who that is. Keep it right here. So drive.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.